really do appreciate it. We appreciate being appreciated, and I know I speak for Mike and Claudia too when I say we really are blessed in so many ways by serving here, by having the opportunity to serve here. So thank you for that. Just mention briefly, if you saw on the announcement slide about our baptism coming up, now the program says it is May 5th, 2 weeks from now. Now, behind the scenes, we're still ironing out that date. It won't be any earlier than that, but plan on that for now. But if you have interest in being baptized, if you have placed your faith in Christ and you've yet to be water baptized, please talk to me about that. I'd love to talk to you about that, to be included in either this or future baptisms. We'd be happy to walk with you through that. It's always such a joyous, joyous event. And one other thing I was going to mention briefly, for those of you who didn't see the congregational email that went out on Friday regarding Dave and Carol Whitmer, Dave, as many of you remember, if you've been here for any length of time, Dave served as our overseer in the HopeNet network. Dave was actually one of the two founding pastors of Living Hope, his wife Carol. They both relocated to Florida at the beginning of the year. And some of you who know them or, again, have been here long enough to hear the story may recall that Carol had a bout with cancer a number of years ago, a tumor they found kind of behind her ear. I can't give you all the right names and descriptions. But she has been clear since, up until a chest x-ray recently revealed a number of spots on her lungs. And so they're in that stage now. They got to the point where they did a biopsy on Friday. So they haven't gotten word back. It's a day or two yet. I think it's Tuesday when they're expecting to get the official word as to what is going on. But we'll just take a moment and pray for them. I just encourage you, when the Lord brings them to mind, just keep praying for them through. Right now, they're in this season of not knowing. Now, probably in another few days, at least from the medical perspective, they'll have a little bit better understanding. I really appreciate the way Dave worded an update email he sent to a few other leaders, I think Friday, maybe, when he said that their prayer is simply that God would get the most glory out of this, however he chooses to do that. You know, whatever that looks like. And I think that's the attitude we need to have for all the curveballs in life. So let's just take a moment to lift them up. God, we bring Dave and Carol to you this morning. We love this couple. They blessed us in so many ways. And while they are no longer geographically among us, they're certainly in our hearts. And we pray for them this morning. God, that they would just cling to you and cling to one another, knowing that you are a perfect father. Your timing is always perfect. Your plans are perfect, even when to us it might feel like things are spinning out of control. So I pray for them today. I just pray you administer to them. Give them just an extra sense of your presence and your peace. And we agree with their prayer that you would receive glory through this, God, that this would be one of those times in life where many people would look and say, wow, look what God is doing there. And that is our desire. We ask that with them. So we pray for them. We lift them up this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So I guess the first thing I should say, the sermon notes in your program, forget them. I don't think we're even going to get to them today. I was really undecided what to do this week regarding this morning. And, you know, sometimes the Lord brings clarity later in the day than you would like. But so anyway, we'll come back to that. But I don't think we're going to get to it today. This is what we want to talk about today. For those of you who were here last Sunday, I spoke about the resurrection of Lazarus. And we've been in this Lazarus theme for several weeks now. I spoke about that resurrection, and we took notice of the fact that when Lazarus was raised from the dead, and this artist kind of captures it in his picture, Jesus spoke the word. He came to life. He came out of the grave, but the grave clothes were still wrapped around him. And Jesus gave the command to others to come and take the grave clothes off of him. So my sense as the week went on, and as I was just continuing to think about that message, I thought, I would love to have opportunity to hear voices from any of you who would care to share this morning practically about that process for you. And I'm going to share more about, I'm going to re-preach the sermon, okay? But I promise I'll do it in like 5 to 7 minutes. So if you weren't here, you get a little better idea what we're talking about. But I would love to hear testimonies from people who have actually gone this journey. I mean, we've all gone on the journey. They all look a little different. But for people that have seen God use other people to come alongside of them and help them remove some of the trappings, some of the grave clothes, if you will, from their past. So I'm going to be asking for those in a little bit. So you can be thinking about that. Is there some practical, simple thing? I'm not asking you to come up and preach a sermon, but how have you experienced that other people have come alongside of you and helped you? So just to review briefly from last Sunday, and this story of Lazarus being raised from the dead is found in John 11. If you're not familiar with that, you can go ahead and turn there. You have my permission to kind of review that story again. But you may recall, Lazarus was a very close friend of Jesus. He became ill, and the word reached Jesus that Lazarus was sick. And as Luke pointed out so well several weeks ago, Jesus responded by doing absolutely nothing. He didn't go to his house. He didn't go to heal him. He didn't do anything, and Lazarus died. But Jesus explained to his disciples that God is up to something, basically, in my words. And it wasn't until Lazarus had been dead for 4 days that Jesus showed up on the scene. And God's purpose all along was to bring the most glory to himself. Remember, we prayed that for Dave and Carol. God's desire all along was bring the most glory to himself by what he was going to do with Lazarus. And what he was going to do was to raise him from the dead. Jesus went to the tomb. He said, "Take away the stone." And Jesus called out, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus rose from the grave back to life. After 4 days of being dead, he was brought back to life. Now, if you remember, when Jesus was resurrected, the Bible is clear that the grave clothes of Jesus remained in the tomb. That was the only remnant. They found the grave clothes after his resurrection. But Lazarus, when he was raised from the dead, that didn't happen. The grave clothes just didn't disintegrate. They were still wrapped around him when he came out of the tomb. And I suggested last week that kind of represents things in our lives. We surrender to the Lord. We come to faith in Christ. But we still have some of our stuff, you know, some of our past, our struggles, our difficulties. And in this story, Jesus did not say to Lazarus, "Take your grave clothes off." He didn't say that. He said to the others, we don't know who the others were, but he said, "Take the grave clothes off." So what that required, as I said last week, was for people willing to become, to get close enough and to participate in what I can only assume was an unpleasant task. Someone who has been dead for 4 days, the strips that wrapped their body through all that decomposition process, as I said last week, those strips were probably pretty nasty. But people had to get close enough. They had to get personally, physically involved in getting Lazarus out of that condition. I said last week that Jesus is okay with messy. It's important for all of us to know that. Jesus is okay with messy. When Martha said, "Oh, we can't take the stone away. It's going to smell bad. He's been dead for 4 days." Jesus is like, "Take the stone away." Jesus doesn't care about that. And then I asked the question, are you okay with messy? The challenge being, are you and I willing to come alongside of someone who might be struggling, trying to walk out of maybe a past addiction, a past hurt, whatever it could be a long list of things. Are you and I comfortable with getting into a situation like that? I said last week that one of my great concerns is that when someone comes to the Lord, they accept Christ, and they they find that new life. And yes, they have stuff. They have a past. We all have a past. But when they come and try to connect with a church or with some type of body of believers, what they experience is judgment or people kind of like, I'm glad you're saved, but I don't really want to deal with you because it's kind of messy, you know? When Christians relate that way to people, it's like pouring glue on their grave clothes, making them harder to come off. It's like taking a needle and thread and stitching the grave clothes together so that it's a bigger task. What a terrible thing to happen. The other thing I wanted to add, I don't think I said this last Sunday, I know the illustrations I'm giving about grave clothes and things from the past, you know, it would be, you know, kind of things from our past that we would say, yeah, those are difficult situations. That's been a difficult thing to walk through. But I want to remind us that we all have grave clothes from a past. And they're not quite as visible maybe as something as having been in prison or a drug addiction or a failed marriage or whatever. But they're even worse. Things like stubbornness, rebellion, pride, self-centeredness. Do I need to go on? It's adding descriptions to that thing we call the sinful nature. So we all have them. We all have them. And as you've learned, if you are a follower of Christ, when you place your faith in Christ, your self-centeredness, unfortunately, does not evaporate. Is anybody else in the room self-centered? I know that, you know, it's there all the time. Like, well, but my life is about me. I want to be happy. I want things to go my way. I want things to work out the way they want them. Why? Because I'm very aware of myself and what I like and what I think I need. So grave clothes, please don't excuse yourself from this discussion saying, man, I'm glad I grew up in a Christian home. I've never committed a crime. Like, I've never really done anything. So I'm clear with all the grave clothes stuff. This doesn't apply to me. Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Trust me, it does. Okay, all right, I don't know how long that took, but that was my re-preaching of the sermon last Sunday. So again, what I'm interested in this morning, I need the mic, Mary. Do you still have it or, thank you. I have to assume that there are some of you here that can think of a way that someone has come alongside of you and actually helped. If you look at this picture, Lazarus, he's found life. Christ has brought him to life, but he still has all these wrappings of death on him. And other people had to come alongside and had to help him with that process. So I'm curious about testimonies, about how some of you may have experienced that. I was thinking this morning as we were during worship, I thought, well, what would I say? Like, what would I say? I pretty much match what I was saying a minute ago. Like, I grew up pretty much going to church and, you know, I've never been arrested for anything. Yeah, I have a few speeding tickets, but, you know, in my youth. But I think most people looking at my life would say, yeah, Ron is pretty, you know, pretty clean, pretty whatever the word is, but... So I ask myself, well, what are the grave clothes that people help me remove? And the one thing that the Lord brought to mind for me was just this whole thing of confidence. I had a really low self-esteem as a child, as a young teenager. Some of it has to do with my family and some family situations that were going on. But and that's not completely gone, by the way. I mean, I still at times, I question a lot about myself, like about my abilities. But one of the things that God has done is, and this is not some big, grand, fantastic story, but he has brought other men and women, but he took my mind while we were worshiping this morning to several men that he has brought into my life. And this is still going on, by the way, who have spoken encouragement to me. They've encouraged me. They've affirmed me. They have, you know, they've just said, yes, God is using you here. God is using you here. And that has helped. That has really helped to get rid of some of those insecurities and lack of confidence that have been a part of my growing up. So, but that's just a simple example. So who will go first? What has been your experience as far as someone coming alongside of you and helping you walk out of something that you were dealing with? Carla.
This is probably pretty obvious, but when Rick and I first got married, we were newly saved, and so we were really excited about Jesus, but we had a lot of grave clothes still on, and we fought a lot. And so then my cousin and her husband, who was a pastor, they just were always there. Like, we called them, and we'd be so mad at each other, and sometimes it would be a couple times a week, and they would sit down and fight, like, teach us how to work this out, till eventually we could do it without them. We've only needed Ron and Molly a couple times in the last 10 years. But now that I'm older, I'm like, that was time-consuming in their lives. They had kids, and he was a pastor, and, mm-hmm. and he was our pastor, but still, that helped us to grow. And now, you know, Rick and I are able to do that for other people that come to us and are happy to do it. So
that's great. Thanks, Carla. I was going to say, too, I'm a little nervous when I extend the invitation this way, but if you have had an experience where someone treated you in a way or spoke to you in a way which actually you felt made the grave clothes tighter, you can share that, too. I mean, we want to learn this morning, right? Now, if it was me, you're not allowed to share it. But if it was anybody else, you're allowed to share it. No, just kidding. Okay, who else? Just, I think a lot of stories, a lot of good stories. This is all part of teaching this morning. Hey, Mike.
So this might take a while for me.
We're not going anywhere. Hey, our lunch is prepared here, so we're in good shape, right?
8 years ago, I was hooked up with Rick. I was married 30 days and came home. My wife was gone, mainly my fault. And so for 8 years, he's been, I knew this was going to happen. You know, I looked at him as like a mentor. You know, but now he's like the father I never had, and it just taught me a lot about the father's love and looking at myself and not blaming others. I could just go on and on. And he's just really, Rick has just really been there for me. Like Carla said, like, no, I couldn't tell you how many times I've called. And he was rude to me the first time we met, we'll tell you that. He told me I was very immature. So I was like, I don't know how I could take that. But he's just really helped me grow. And he's been really patient and guiding me. I cannot not mention Andy and Dottie. Just since the moment we stepped into church, they loved us, and I just never felt so accepted as I have by her and Andy, and it just really helped us. I went off, and I struggled with addiction and a lot of other things, anger. I'm losing my thoughts here, but you know, even when I went away to Teen Challenge 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, you know, the church supported our family a lot. But one of the things that really meant a lot was, like, when I would get to come home, like, once a month on marriage pass. And several times Dottie invited men over from the church so I could just get to know them and connect. Because it's hard coming from what I say, like, my lifestyle into a church. You feel out of place and, like, you don't fit in. And it's just hard to connect. And it's been bearing fruit. Like, I have real friends here now that I'm starting to get to know and establish relationships with. And, you know, another way was when I was at Teen Challenge, I don't know if Claudia's here or not, but I don't know if I've ever told her this, but she wrote me a letter. There she is. She wrote me a letter each and every month, like, without fail. And that just meant, it was just, you know, scripture, a short letter, but it just meant so much to me that I knew just someone was thinking about me. And like, when I was there, like, I could tell that Bible study was praying for, like, I could feel it, you know, in my spirit that I was being prayed for. And it carried me and it enabled the Lord to show me and teach me some things, you know, about the cross and Christ. And it really helped. And And I told you yesterday, like, the Lord wanted me to share this, be transparent about a dream that I had this week. You know, coming from that, there's been a lot of stuff going on, and I've been really anxious in my thoughts. And I was, like, this close to, like, calling Rick and getting counsel, but I was just wrestling with the Lord about it and trying to work it out about maybe going back on medication. And before I say it, like, medication is needed. Some people I know, it's life-sustaining, and I believe in it wholeheartedly. Like, we have doctors for a reason. But I also believe that it can be overused. So I was asking the Lord, like, well, should I go back? You know, on medication, is it a step back? What is going on? And I had this dream. He gave me this dream. And it says in the Word that old men have dreams, so I guess I qualify. I was like, that's the first verse that came to my mind about it. And I was like, man, that ain't right. But I had this dream that there was this huge, I'll call it like a dragon-type creature. And it was so big that all I could see was his tail. And the tail was so big that the earth was like just a pebble. And he was like laughing and mocking, just flying over the earth like for the destruction that he could cause. And I jumped on the tail of this dragon-like creature, and I was going to kill it. And I went and I dropped my sword. I had a sword, and I dropped it, and I woke up. Well, and I was like, so I'm pondering that, and anybody read their Bible 2 minutes knows what the sword represents. And I have a piece now about the Lord to, like, this thing is much bigger than any medication or anything like that. Like, my answer is God's word. So to just stay in it and keep doing the work, and he'll overcome this thing, and it's more than I can handle without him and his word. So I just felt that he wanted me to share that with everyone.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Mike.
Who's next? If you have something to share, you can come up and just take a seat on the front here. We'll get to you. Jackie.
So one of these themes that have just kind of been running with me, and the Lord's really been laying on my heart, is being in the messy with people, not walking away. When you reach out to somebody, when you come alongside somebody, you don't start seeing them through the journey and then walk away. You have to be willing to be knee deep in that muck and mire with them. And I've had some people in this church who have been right alongside me the whole way. And you know that I've walked through some real ugliness. And I couldn't have done it without you guys. But like I said, that's really been heavy on my heart is we walk away, we look at this mess, and we think we can handle it, and we start, and then we realize it's more than we are willing to put forth. And that's where we need to change. And it's not just in the church. We need to be willing to do that with our neighbors. You see somebody broken down the street, reach out to them. It's not contained to just these walls. So, like I said, that's what he's really been laying on my heart. So.
If I can ask you a question, when people came around you, you said through some really messy stuff, what were they doing? Like, just very practically, what were the kinds of things that they did that were the most life-giving to you?
One, I didn't feel any shame from them. They didn't make me feel like anything that I had experienced was my fault. And it was simple things like a text, a call. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's go have lunch and just spend time together talking. Yeah. Little trip to Rita's, you know, little things like that where for the first time in a very long time, I didn't feel alone. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that was the key.
Didn't feel alone. Excellent. All right. Thanks, Jackie. All right. Who else? Who else? Come on. I know there are stories out there. Come on up, Michael.
I first want to open up with a simple passage, a very short passage, very brief, where it says, it's in Galatians 3, verse 25. No, wait a minute. Verse 26, sorry, folks. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. I open with this passage because in this church, you are all my family. And because of some of you people, there's been times that I have confessed to some dark sins and things that I committed in my life. But I've never been judged harshly. I've never been rumored about what I've done. The people kept it private and kept within themselves and never spread the word. And they always honored me and would help me at times. And there's times that I need that help, even today, to believing that the Spirit of God is alive and well within this body here. I praise God for you people. I thank you for this. Thank God for each one of you. You people are just more fantastic than you can ever believe. And I love you all. And I thank you for what you've done. I especially thank Rick and his family for having reached out to me to make me feel like I'm part of their family. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Carla. And I thank for each one of you guys that reached out for me. I just feel that you make a person feel special. And I just want you to know I appreciate the pastor. I appreciate Mike and his family, his wife, and the other people that are there with him. But I also thank each one of you because you're all ministers. Thank you. Praise God.
Thanks, Mike. Okay. Who's next? You got to come over here, bro. You got to come the whole way over here to the middle.
Pastor Ron asked me to, if I wanted to come up here and say something. But since last week, I was, when he made the reference to the grave clothes and our things that we're struggling with, I immediately thought to myself, I only have the head part off. I still have, from the neck down, grave clothes. Now, there has been people that reached out to me to try to help me through things and whatnot, but I got trust issues. That's just how it is. Slowly, one guy in particular, I won't name names, but he's coming around with me. Me and him, we got a little thing going. It's going well. But, yeah, this whole thing with Lazarus really made me think that there's still a lot of work that I need to get done. It's probably going to be a lifelong journey, and I know I'm not the only one, I know we have different backgrounds, but I know that there's no one in here that's perfect. So, I appreciate you asking me to say something. I don't even know if I answered the things you wanted me to. But that's what's on my heart. So, but I appreciate Living Hope. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, Ron. Thank you. You're next.
When I was in my early-ish 20s and so on, I actually had an issue of rebellion that went on for like 5 years.
No, not you.
I didn't know it was rebellion at the time. I just thought I really, really liked this guy. And I was dead certain that this one fella was the man for me. And I would tell my friends about it, my sisters, and blah, blah, blah. They're like, are you sure? I don't know about this. I don't think God's telling you that. Yeah. And it went on, and you know, it wasn't. I was like, okay, well, maybe I need to give it up. And I'm like, he texted me. Yeah. And it went on for like 5 years, and people were kept feeding me, like, Mary, this isn't a healthy thing. This is not what God has for you. And they're just speaking truth into my life. Some did it more gently than others, but it was like I kept holding on to this thing because I thought I knew what was best for me, and I wanted what I wanted, and I thought I wanted this. And I'm very glad that God brought me to the point where it's like, no, that's not the thing for you, because now I have something better. So it's but it took like consistently people for like 5 years, honestly, no, you need to get over this, and speaking truth. In love, and not like telling me how stupid I was for thinking I knew what I wanted and needed and so on. But yeah, rebellion can come in all kinds of forms, and it can take a little while to get over. But yeah, I'm very glad for the people that were willing to tell me the truth.
I'm glad you shared that. This is kind of the flip side. It wasn't just people rubbing your back, oh, you're wonderful, Mary. This is great. They were actually
And it wasn't like,
enough.
Oh, he's stupid for not thinking that you're awesome too.
Right.
Yeah. No, it was like, are you sure? Like, why do you think that this is what God has for you? And yeah. They were really testing what I was discussing and not just giving me an ear and then making me feel better because I wanted to vent and feel better.
And you obviously didn't receive that quickly. If it went on for 5 years, right? It took time, right?
It took a lot of time.
Persistence. Yeah. That's great. Thank you. Who's next? Cheryl. Okay. Come on. You can come up. Sit up here, Kat. We'll get to you then in a minute. Come on up, Cheryl.
So, you know, I've had a lot of grave clothes through the years, started pretty young. But the one that I felt led to share would probably be the most recent one. And it was a time of dying, literally. It started probably 10 years ago. And for our family, it began with cancer. And then 2 weeks later, another form of cancer in the same body. And it was overwhelming. And then children getting arrested. And the panic and the terror as a mom to get that phone call. And then God telling you that I'm going to require you to leave 3 areas. And if you disobey me, it'll be death. And not knowing if that meant physical death, spiritual death, or what, but I knew that what he had said, and it was clear, and he was going to require me to leave my job. And you know, how many of us know that God doesn't often, he doesn't ask us to do the easy things. And he was going to ask me to leave my church home, which I'd been there and served as an elder and a spiritual mother and was in a pastoral position with the worship and prayer ministry and had a lot of spiritual children, but he was telling me clearly he was going to ask me to leave. And he was going to ask me to leave my natural home, our home that we had. And I loved that home. And sometimes you don't realize how much something has a hold on you, even material things, until you have to give it up. And all of this in a fairly short matter of time. And then with the cancer, the loss of our income and his job and it changing and losing $50,000 like that salary in a moment and just everything changing. And the finances tanking and it felt like every friend I had abandoned me, like they all scattered to the wind. There was no one. There was no one. And sorry, it doesn't hurt too bad anymore until I get to thinking about it. And the number of times where I would just feel like, where did they go? Where did they go? And so I lost my church home. I lost in a moment, it seemed like Heart to Heart, which is a ministry that God's entrusted to me, just dried up. and the ministry opportunities stopped, and the finances came from $1,000 a month to zero in a day. And it was literally every area of my life died. And I remember thinking for a season, what did I do? What did I do? Was I unfaithful? Did I disobey you with something? But, you know, that is not who God is. But I knew what I needed. And it was a time of stripping and dying. So this particular, the grave clothes, I was so angry. And I got tired of people just acting like, just get over it. And I am like, is this the compassion of the people? Just get over it. Don't ever tell somebody to just get over it. You know, we get over it in however long it takes. And this was a long journey. This was several years. And then I had a couple of very close, my relationship with my mother just went from here to here. And I lost a best friend. They just walked. And it was very, so there were relationship issues. It was just everything. And about 6 months ago, so this has been a healing time and a time of releasing, especially as a minister, because I know I'm called as a minister. This is who I am. It's my life, and I serve him. There's no other alternative for me. And so, but there was this time of surrender and a yielding, and I can be stubborn. I can hold on to something and going, why? But I was getting healed, and it was taking time, but God was healing my heart as I began to shift, as he healed my identity, that it's not all those things that I was doing. It was me and him. It's his daughter. Mm-hmm. And changing my view on him, that it wasn't God crushing me and whatnot. So about 6 months ago, and this is where someone came along, and it was instantaneous. And I don't know if you know Shirley Hampton, but she's a good friend of mine. We've done some ministry, a lot of ministry together, and she called me and she said, I have a word for you. You need to come see me. So I took a trip to Maryland and went to see her. And I took a friend of mine, Petra, with me. And she had a tub of water prepared. And she washed my feet where she said they'd gotten dusty from traveling through the world and even where many had mistreated me. And she washed my feet. And then with just a simple word, she got up and she read that passage of scripture where Jesus went into this girl and she had died. And everybody was like laughing and mocking and unbelief off the chain. But he told her parents, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And as soon as Shirley spoke that to me, what you think is dead is not dead, Cheryl. She's just been sleeping. Mm. And she re-anointed me. And I'm telling you, I walked out of that house different than I had been in probably a good 8 years. Completely different. And so God used her. She stepped out in faith and said, I'm just going to do this. But she unwrapped the clothes. Wow. And it's been different. And I feel like I went from 0 to 60.
Wow.
Awesome. From that moment, mm-hmm, when she loved on me.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl.
I really felt like God wanted me to share this, even though it's really, really still a little bit difficult, but I believe it's where God has me. Sorry, it's hard talking rather than singing on stage. but the last, we've been attending here for about 12 years also, and like, I feel like for my life, I had layers of grave clothes. It wasn't just one set. It was, you know, 30 plus some years of grave clothes. And I have, myself and my family have just been so blessed by the leadership here that have come alongside us and walked with us, especially through the last 12 years just through sickness with my kids, sickness with myself, just some really difficult things. And I really believe the last year has been probably one of the hardest, but one of the most impactful. And I feel like another layer of grave clothes has come off this year, just in regards to how I see myself and how God sees me. Just a little bit of background, like I was raised in church. My father was a pastor, grew up in church my whole entire life, grew up with the expectation of my value and who I was how I performed, how I did, what I did for other people. And so there was love there, but it was like, it was, I don't even know how to explain it. It was just, it was surface. I was raised by, I was adopted. So there was always this part of me that just felt like I was never enough. There was nothing that I could do that was ever going to be enough. And the Lord over this last year has slowly just, through some really hard decisions, some things that I really didn't like, had to use that to show me that there's more value than just what I do and how I perform, for lack of a better word. And just, I feel like there's been a grace in that now, that I can do what I've been called to do, but it's because that's what I've been called to do. It's not how good I do it, if that makes sense. And just, I think the breaking point for me was just my father has passed this past year. It'll be a year next month. And through that, I had a lot of struggle about how I saw God because of the relationship that I had with my father. I feel like he's restoring that, and he's bringing clarity to that and helping me to really realize that, you know, who he is as a father, and that he's going to continue to take care of me and continue to take care of my family no matter what I do, because he loves me, and it's not because of, you know, how hard I work for it or, you know, how much I give of myself, but that he's going to be there no matter what. So it's, you know, an ongoing journey, but it's the journey that he has me on right now, and it's a good thing.
Yeah, so it is. Yeah. He's more than enough, so you are enough. You are enough. Thanks, Kat. Anybody else?
I have a confession to make. I've had people try and pull the grave clothes off of me, and I pull them back on. Don't do that. I encourage you to don't get comfortable in your grave clothes.
Yeah, well, that's a good word right there. Anybody else? One or two yet? Oh, we got two people right there. Come on up. Karen?
Yes, this sermon series has really spoken to me recently. For over half my life, I've suffered with OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And I've also had a lot of pride, so I didn't want to tell anybody. The only persons I told were the Landises years ago, and they prayed with me, and they said, well, just don't do it. So I tried, and 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 I tried. The years went by. I still couldn't do it. And finally, just very recently, I cried out to God, and I said, I can't do this. There's no way. And I don't know, he just gave me the faith to try it. And he actually took away the feelings of, I can't think of what you call it, the uneasiness, you know, by not performing the ritual. And in our life group, on Thursday mornings, the group started out with a big group of ladies this fall, but it just dwindled down, until there were just a few of us, maybe half. But those ladies just are real, and they were willing to speak about what, you know, they were working on. And then we came to a lesson about Jesus healing. And there was, in that story, it was the part where the lady who had an issue for 12 years touched Jesus' garment, and she risked being known. So I felt the Lord telling me that I needed to tell our group, which I did. And they prayed for me, but I discovered too that while he's given me the victory and I don't have the compulsive feelings anymore, I still have the old habits after 30-some years that I'm still doing, and I catch myself and say, why are you doing this? So I told that to my life group, and they prayed again. And I'm really thankful for Donna Smith for choosing that lesson and for just sticking with us. I mean, we have a lot of issues, but she has created an atmosphere where it's safe. And I just appreciate that so much. And I'm just beginning in this walk of victory, finally, but I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Karen. And, Carolyn.
I really appreciated my brother in Christ's word about how the grave clothes are just here all the time, you know, for the rest of our lives. We're taking the grave clothes off. But what has struck me in listening to everyone share, I was thinking, I had a lot of people in our church that we came from who did come alongside me in times of great need, and I'm so grateful to them. I don't think any of you would know them, but the one thing that has struck me throughout my life as I've walked with the Lord and been working on taking my grave clothes off and listening to the Holy Spirit convict me about things are the number of people who have been what I call the one-off people, that they would come up to me on Sunday morning and they'd say, hey, I just wanted you to know, I mean, I wouldn't even know these people really, and they'd come up and they'd say, hey, you know, I just want to let you know, I really felt led to pray for you this week, and so I did, and I'm just letting you know. And or I'd get a card out of the blue from someone I knew from another chapter of my life, and we're just saying, hey, I just wanted to drop a line, let you know I was praying for you, or an email or a text. And what was interesting to me as I was sitting listening to these wonderful stories is that didn't cost those people a lot, really. I mean, maybe it did. Maybe it was hard for them to write a thank you note or a little note to me, but I never had multiple contacts with them. And yet I can remember 10 and 20 years after those people coming up to me saying mm-hmm. what they mm-hmm. said to me. And so that's what struck me.
Yeah. Thank you. You heard a lot of good sermons this morning. You saw me writing things down, right? And you probably heard the words. You know the words. You might not remember them all, but time. If you're really going to come alongside of someone, Jackie, you mentioned this, several of you mentioned this, it takes time. Carla, you mentioned this in the beginning, that it's an investment of time. Somebody else, see, I won't even remember who all said this now, but the word shame is one of the enemy's largest tools. When you're trying to walk out of something from your past, what Satan will do is he will constantly remind you of it to keep shame on you. Say, yeah, well, maybe you've been forgiven, but, you know, the shame is still there. You still feel bad about whatever it is. That is a major tactic of the enemy. One person said they felt alone, and anything that would help them not feel alone would be a benefit. Another person mentioned about, I think, Michael, you said this about, you shared things with people, and they weren't They didn't get their way around the church, you know? We must not do that. When someone shares something of a personal nature with you, that goes nowhere. Ron said about trust, if you want to destroy someone's trust immediately, overnight, you share something that they told you in confidence. And when that happens, not only is there an injury between you and them, but they will likely be much more hesitant to ever share that with anyone again. That's huge. These are good lessons you're learning this morning, or that you're being reminded of. Trust is huge. That ties into that. Mary's comment about speaking the truth, being able to come alongside of someone, but you know, you have to earn the right to speak the truth. You can't really speak the truth. Well, I shouldn't say that. If God tells you to speak the truth the very first day you're with someone, well, then do what he's telling you to do, obviously. But just general human nature is you earn the right. And the closer you get to someone, the more permission you have, if you will, to be able to speak truth. But again, that comes from time. And someone else used the word safety. We were talking about this in our prayer time before the service this morning. To create an atmosphere of safety where someone actually feels safe, where they can talk to you, where they can tell you something. So I hope you got two things, hopefully more than two, but the two key things that are on my mind right now is if you are in a place right now, sitting in this room, that you know there is still some stuff in your life, maybe you've not placed your faith in Christ yet, I hope hearing these stories has given you some hope that there is a way out of this. The other thing is that, you know, and I promise I didn't plan it this way, but as it was unfolding, I'm like, yes, God, this is awesome. Okay, today's Pastor Appreciation Day. I appreciate that. But you got a behind the scenes look this morning as where ministry really happens, right? We get to play a part of it, but for ministry to really become a healthy reality at Living Hope, it really takes two people getting involved, and that's you and me, to take time to walk alongside of someone, to give ourselves to that. So really quickly, Chaz, just advance that slide one time. If you look at the center screen there, I don't know if you remember this. If you've only been here a few months, you probably never saw this before. This actually goes back to last fall when I was talking about Living Hope's identity. And I apologize, some of the words have run off the bottom of the screen there. But these four icons, which I presented as feeling capturing kind of who we believe Living Hope is. The first one, it kind of looks like a weird hourglass, but it's actually two faces looking at each other. The word for that was encounter. Everything starts with encounter, encountering God. But then we have these icons then of a hospital, and the middle one is supposed to represent a gym. It's a person lifting weights, but a hospital, a gym, and a launch pad. And what we're talking about this morning, coming alongside of people, I thought about those, especially the three, the hospital, the gym, and the launch pad. Those things, they are not events. They're not activities. They're environments. A hospital is an environment. No one gets better by going to the hospital. Sorry, no one does. Now, I should finish that sentence, right? Rebecca has an interesting look on her face. You don't get better by going to the hospital. You get better because you receive treatment at the hospital. But the hospital creates an environment of healing. It's all the right things are in place. You know, you have doctors, you have nurses, you have equipment, you have all this crazy stuff. So it's a great, but it's an environment. A gym. You don't lose weight by going to the gym. You don't get stronger by going to the gym. It's what you do at the gym. You're lifting weights, you're running, you're working out, you're doing whatever. But the gym is an environment that makes space for losing weight and gaining strength. A launch pad. When's the last time you saw a rocket blast off and the commentators who were doing the play-by-play, not that people really do play-by-play on a blast-off, but if you did, they would not be raving about the launch pad. The launch pad is not the deal. The rocket is the deal. But the launch pad is basically creating an environment where that rocket can take off, and go do all the things that it's designed to do. Can Living Hope create those environments? Can we be those environments where the type of thing we described this morning just continues more and more? That's what God is calling us to. To whatever degree we are succeeding at that, may it increase. May it increase more and more, because the world needs this from the church. I'm going to give you this challenge, and then we're going to close. We're going to make our way over to lunch. Are you individually willing to say to the Lord, I will come alongside of 27 different people? No. I will come alongside one person. If you show me someone and you call me to come alongside them, I'm willing to do it. Just one person. Just imagine, you know, if all of us did that, just one person. But I'm not going to take it lightly. I'm going to come alongside of them, and as long as that door is open, I'm going to stay there. I'm going to speak into their lives. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to speak the truth when I need to, when you ask me to. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say to the Lord? Let's just pause for a moment. Ask yourself that question. Spirit, you're asking us that question this morning. Am I willing to come alongside of one person? Am I willing to come alongside of one person? Jesus Christ, you have come alongside of us. You have demonstrated beyond our wildest dreams the love that the Father has for us, and for that we're thankful. For that we're thankful. We are thankful. Did you have something to share, Keisha? Okay, come on up.
All right, so now at the end, as you're speaking, this is where I feel like I wanted to speak, because 9-10 years ago, the situation that happened with me that I wanted to share was that a person came into my life, and I know that this person was not, you know, real messy, full of all kind of things that I didn't, you know, hold on, let me get myself together. Real messy, the life was out of order. It was a scary time for me, but I know that people are hurting and broken, but they're still human beings, and they still need to be loved and cared for. So at this time, the Lord, I was like, no, I don't want to deal with this person. I don't want to deal with this, what this person is dealing with. I can't. I want to face, you know, I want to live my life the way I want to. And praying about it, I was at a Y point of either dealing with this issues that the person was dealing with, or either, you know, going my own separate way. And I knew that I could help that person. Like, I knew that everything in me said, help them, help him. He's a person, and he just is lost. So I was at the point of saying, at the why of going this way or that way. This way would include me leaving that person and just saying, whatever, good luck, I pray for you, I hope everything works out for you, but I gotta go and do what I gotta do. The Lord asked me, will I go? And you think, what does that really mean? It took me a couple years to realize what it meant. And I said to myself at that moment, yeah, I will go. I will stand for the truth and teach this person, love this person, be with that person, help them out, lift them up, be their crutch when they need it. And I did it. And so here I am, 9 years later, and my husband is that person.
All right.
He's a total different man right now today. You know, people just, everybody knew who he was, and, you know, he was broken. Didn't even look the same, but I knew his heart was a good, you know, he was a good person. So the Lord asked me to do this for him. And it was a struggle to get him to understand who God created him to be. Like, you know, and the verse that continues to resonate is love covers a multitude of sin. Mm-hmm. And I just continue to love him despite of what he did, despite of what he said, despite of what he did, despite of what he did.
You said that already.
Okay. Just making sure, because it's, you know, I'm not perfect either, but I know that the Lord told me that. So now my husband is an awesome man of God. He loves the Lord. He prays for my family. He has just changed my life. He is completely, 100%, like a totally different man. You would not have known him years ago. So I love you.
Thank you. Thank you, Keisha. It could be that the minute I said, are you willing to come alongside of someone, you knew who that person was. It could be. Or it could be that you have no idea who that is, but the Lord is asking you for a willingness that when I show you, this is what I want you to do. So I'm going to leave that between you and the Lord. All right. How about lunch? Those of you who have been coming to Living Hope, you probably saw, noticed we're having a meal after the service as part of pastor appreciation. Again, I appreciate that, but let's celebrate ministry in general, like the stories, what God is doing, how he's using people, how he's changing lives. Let's celebrate that. So, if you were not aware we were having a meal, if maybe this is your first time here, join us. Please stay. Please join us. We're going to make our way over there in just a few moments, and I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic meal, a time to maybe meet someone you don't know or be able to talk a little bit over lunch. So my understanding is we're all going to move over that way, find a table, be seated, and then when the folks that are in charge over there are ready, someone is going to ask a blessing on the meal, and then we're going to eat. So I think kind of what that means is the longer we linger here, the later we eat there, which I love when people linger here. But this morning, I think they want us to not too long kind of start making our way over there. So it's been good to be together this morning. Thanks for being here. Hopefully, we'll get to see you again. And enjoy lunch and enjoy the rest of your day. God bless you.